Hi, everybody. We are continuing with our esoteric astrology adventures. This is number 20. And we were discussing the third creative hierarchy. Just to review a little bit, we had reached page 41. The third creative hierarchy, or the eighth, is a peculiarly interesting one. They are called the triads. For they hold in themselves the potency of triple evolution, mental, psychical, and spiritual, and we realize that these types of evolution are precisely what the spiritual triad promotes. The spiritual evolution is atmic, psychical is Buddhic, and mental is monastic. We looked at the numbers, how the three, the eight, and the five are all connected mentally. The triads are these triads of life, because they deal with the cosmic etheric plane where life and vitality are found in the cosmic sense, are inherently the three persons of the Trinity, at least for the human being. And the flower of the earlier solar system from a certain angle. So our question here is, was it the most developed, or at least did it reach its present stage of fruition in the previous solar system? Whereas hierarchies number 1-6 and 2-7, Leo and Virgo, expressing the respectively the mental vehicle of the solar logos and the astral vehicle of the solar logos, may have been above the fray, as it were, and simply there in an avataric position without developing per se. Well, that should have been hierarchy number three. Right, number two. Okay. From another angle, when studied as the flower of the earlier eight, they are the eightfold points awaiting opportunity to flame forth. And so often the term point is used to describe a being, and especially a Devic being, the points of Devic life. But in a way, every type of being in the cosmos is irreducibly a point of being. So we can say that these eightfold points have not yet fully flamed forth, and they are waiting to do so in this solar system. We know that the fifth almost liberated creative hierarchy is on its way to the cosmic astral plane, but this does not say, for instance, that these other hierarchies, some of them, will not achieve freedom as a whole from the cosmic physical plane onto the cosmic astral plane. So there are certain hierarchies which certainly will not achieve freedom, and the question is whether the human hierarchy will achieve as a whole, complete freedom in this solar system, because after all, some are destined to be involved and continue their development in the next solar system. So this would probably indicate that not all of the fourth creative or human hierarchy will achieve freedom onto the cosmic astral plane in this solar system. They are the devas. Now, interestingly, this is a deva hierarchy, okay? It doesn't say that about the human being, but we have to ask ourselves which are deva hierarchies and which are more human hierarchies. Which are deva hierarchies? Okay. And which are more man-like? They are the devas who are ready for service, which is to give to another hierarchy certain qualities which it is lacking. Now, is that the human hierarchy? Because after all, so often when we bestow to those that are immediately below us, just as in a way the solar angels are perhaps bestowing to humanity that which is immediately below them. Humanity being immediately below them, we might say, if the solar angels are indeed Buddhic, as it seems to imply here under hierarchy number 9. This hierarchy is regarded as the great donors of immortality. The eight is the eight of death, but also the eight of immortality through the Christ or Buddhic love, whilst themselves standing aloof from incarnation, and incarnation in this case will mean immersion in the dense physical body of the solar logos, which of course the solar angels are immersed in. And so perhaps their sacrifice, the solar angel's sacrifice, is very great. The status of the solar angels or the fifth does seem to be initially below that of the eighth or third creative hierarchy, but there is more to be revealed. Let us say that the eighth or third creative hierarchy, the one we're discussing right now, certainly understands the nature of Atma very fully. We can wonder, though, whether the solar angels are not more Buddhic beings than they are Atmic, but of course they are endowed with all three qualities. All right, they cannot pass out of the logoic etheric body into the dense physical vehicle of the solar logos, and that dense physical vehicle consists of the lower 21 subplanes. Even the causal body itself is in the dense physical vehicle of the solar logos, though, as I have often said, not necessarily the dense physical vehicle of the planetary logos. All right, then we're ready here to move on. The third hierarchy wields the third aspect. Okay. Now we saw that the second hierarchy wielded the second aspect or type of electrical force of the first type of cosmic energy. And in a way, the Atmic plane is the beginning of Brahmic expression. So the third aspect of electrical force of the first type of cosmic energy. And we will assume that this number one relates to Atma and the beginning of the fivefold Brahmic expression. Although, you know, we see that the way DK talks about these different types of forces, it's not easy to get a handle on them. Is it worth going back here? Let's see. The second hierarchy has for its type of force the second aspect, but it's of the seventh type of force from out the many. The seventh type comes from above, but the first type perhaps indicates the beginning of the Brahmic expression. It is, let's see, it is often the case that the three and the one are related. I'm thinking about the techniques of fusion, where third-ray souls in the process of fusion produce first-ray results. First-ray souls produce second-ray results. Second-ray souls produce third-ray results. And then it seems to go up, and third-ray souls produce first-ray results. But it would be unusual for this lower hierarchy to wield a higher type of force than either the second or the first, either the Virgo or the Leo creative hierarchy. So I'm thinking that this first cosmic force must relate to Brahma. It is first in a strange way because Brahma, although he is third, was first. He manifested first. Therefore, he could be considered to be the first type of cosmic, first type of cosmic force. I'm going to lower this just a little bit. Hope I'm still audible. Okay, and the first or sixth creative hierarchy is producing what here? Okay, Well, maybe I'm not. I've written so much here that maybe I'm not going to be able to find it. But yes, the first endeavoring to express the mental vibration, etc., etc. Okay. Now we have to go up into the first creative hierarchy. And I'm sorry for the delay. Yes, they express the energy of the first aspect of the sixth type of cosmic electricity. And when we're talking about cosmic electricity, one gets very much the sense of cosmic fohat. And when we're talking about the first type of force expressed by the third group, one wonders whether it's so high. It's the first in order, I would say. But time will tell as these things come to light. We are told an interesting thing. Let's see. They wield, but they don't necessarily express. Wield is an interesting word for the third ray because it has to do with manipulation. It has to do with the use of an instrument. They wield the third aspect of electrical force of the first type of cosmic energy. Every word here counts, obviously, in what DK is doing. Perhaps it is the first type of cosmic energy in some sense, but it is the aspect of electrical force of the first type. Well, anyway, we can certainly see that the numbers add up, because the number three connects us with the fact that it is the third manifesting creative hierarchy, and the number eight with the idea that numbering from the Pisces hierarchy on the third sublevel of the cosmic astral plane, that it is in fact the number eight, which we arrive at. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, which is the lesser builders. Lesser only in relation to the greater builders above them. Not lesser builders, as we have said, not lesser builders who are unconscious builders of the army of the voice and are directed by a certain David Clord still in the three worlds. They stand for a recurrent cycle of that first type, okay, first type of cosmic energy, symbolized by first type, symbolized by the number eight. And when we think of recurrent cycle, eight is interesting because there's a constantly recurring cycle in the manner in which the figure flows. So there is a first type of cosmic energy which is connected with the eight. Now, the eight is the Scorpio sign. It's the sign of Hercules. And Hercules is the great first ray exemplar. There's much Pluto involved in the Scorpionic sign. So the numbers 8 and 1 are closely connected. Let's just say 1 and 8 are closely related. A recurrent cycle. Now, it's interesting that the all knowledge, which is essentially the knowledge of cycles, is found upon the atmic plane. And on the third level of the atmic plane, interestingly, which correlates with the fact that this is the third manifested creative hierarchy. So every once in a while, this first type of force, which is symbolized by the number eight, expresses itself. And DK is certainly not telling us when. When you think of all that we are missing in terms of when these forces actually express themselves and for how long, you realize the fragments with which we are working. The formulae for these electrical energies are too complicated to be given here. Probably there are some who could understand them, because certainly there are electrical formulas in our conventional science which are very difficult to understand. But anyway, we'll take Master DK's word for it that we cannot become engrossed in these kinds of technical details at this point in the unfoldment of our understanding. But the student should bear in mind that these hierarchies express, and let us see now, septenary cosmic energy, cosmic prana, okay, septenary cosmic energy. Now, okay, what could that be? And let us say, the seven types of energy of the seven cosmic planes. That's one way to look at septenary cosmic energy, starting all the way from the cosmic logoic and coming down. And when he says these hierarchies, does he mean only the ones that are being listed here, or all the many hierarchies which are possible? Cosmic prana, now where will we find cosmic prana? Found on the cosmic etheric planes, which are our systemic, buddhic, atmic, monadic, and logoic planes. Solar energy or electric fire, solar fire and fire by friction, and these relate more to the cosmic physical plane, and are solar and not cosmic in origin. So let us say that electric fire is particularly logoic, solar fire is monadic, atmic, and buddhic, and fire by friction is mental, astral, and etheric physical. That's one way of assigning the division. Agni has sometimes been connected with solar fire, and the Agni energy is operating systemically on the monadic, atmic, and buddhic planes. We could find the reference for that, but you know, for some of this you'll have to take my word. And then if I'm proven incorrect, well, then good, we have the understanding of something that is incorrect, and something that is correct is then understood. So, okay, all of these express this different kind of energy. So, cosmic prana, well, I think it's found on all four of the cosmic etheric planes. So, these hierarchies express septenary cosmic energy. Now, this is especially so, if you think about it, the liberated creative hierarchies, especially so, because they are above cosmic prana, a being on the cosmic astral plane. Cosmic prana is a cosmic energy expressing on the solar planes, and solar energy is solar energy expressing on the solar planes. Well, obviously, this really gets into the fifth ray, heights and depths of the matter. So we cannot really understand the depths of these things. I'll pull down this shade a little bit. The sun changes position. Okay. Now moving on. Sometimes we really shouldn't move on, but we have no choice because our understanding will only penetrate to a certain depth, and time spent at this point will not necessarily yield fuller understanding. Each hierarchy manifests a triple energy or an aspect of each of the above, and that necessitates a ninefold differentiation. For the two first are triple, as is the third. So here we have, this is very much like what we find when considering the triadal rays in cosmic fire 176 and 177. Each one of the aspects of the spiritual triad manifests in a triple expression. So each hierarchy manifests the triple energy or an aspect of the above, either cosmic septenary energy, either cosmic prana, and solar energies. So we will have 21 expressions of energy when we consider the seven manifested hierarchies. There is somewhere a chart with 21 expressions of ray energy which can be compared with these. But as I said, you know, we just have to register the fact here that the for the two first are triple, as is the third. Each hierarchy. Yeah, so we're speaking especially of the first, second, and third manifested hierarchies, but the question remains, are the other hierarchies triple as well? The ninefold differentiation is kind of a unit of completion of consciousness, and in the logoic, monadic, and atmic, we have a kind of a ninefold completion. We probably would have the same if we consider atmic, buddhic, and monastic. Now, something of real importance is said here. It is the rejection of the triadal lives by units of the fourth hierarchy, that of the human monads, which precipitates a man eventually into the eighth sphere. He refuses, a type of refusal we see, not a divine type. He refuses to become a Christ, a savior, and remains self-centered. And, you know, this is not just for the path of world saviors, for those upon the second ray. Any member of the hierarchy, which is that great second ray body, is, in a sense, a savior. So this is the choice of the left-hand path, and this is the refusal to build the true antikarana, which leads the consciousness into the influence of the triadal lives. DK has talked about a kind of false antikarana, which the brothers of the left-hand path build, and they anchor it in certain deva lives on the mental plane. He doesn't give much about it, but the idea is that it's veering off and is going to make such a brother subservient to certain devic forces which he should have transcended. So there is a rejection involved here. Always with the number eight, there is a rejection. You know, there is a sloughing off, a dropping of something, a refusal, the dispersing energy of the first ray, the rebuff factor. In death, we drop the body. You know, we drop the lowest of the vehicles, which is in a way the eighth vehicle. It's a non-principled vehicle, but it is the eighth. We drop that. And here the man decides that he will not accept the eightfoldness of the Christ consciousness, which is a kind of circulation between the blessings of that which is high, bringing it into that which is low. It's a kind of a relational approach where one becomes a bridge of love that is being rejected. So you know how the... just to kind of look at this, the antikarana is built over here. It's kind of a triadal link, and these brothers do not build that. Some of them work on the higher mental plane, very few and very powerfully when they do, but generally speaking, the life is concentrated around the mental unit for such brothers. And the powers of the soul, especially one-third of the powers, are brought into fortifying the mental unit beyond all conceivable development by the normal man. That's what we are told by DK. They can go very high onto the cosmic planes, but by a line which is not sanctioned in this second-ray solar system. So we reject the triadal lives. Well, it's a bit like... rejecting the solar angel, you know. The solar angel has to sort of snap the thread and say, I can't be involved with this particular personality anymore. So there is a rejection of the solar angel, especially the love and divine will aspect of the solar angel, not the intelligence part necessarily. And there is a rejection of the triadal life. Some theorists I've talked to said, well, really the solar angels are the spiritual triad. this can be discussed. In some ways, it doesn't seem quite accurate because man remains with his spiritual triad long after the solar angels have returned to the heart of the sun or to the central spiritual sun. We say all kinds of things as we try to piece all this together and work through the vague hints. At least vague to some of us. Maybe to others, these hints are crystal clear and revelatory. Anyway, we see that somewhere in that scorpionic period between the second and third initiation, there is a rejection of the triadal lives, a refusal to build the true Antikorana, a veering off onto the left-hand path, a succumbing to the temptations in the desert, and all temptation is ruled by Scorpio as well. That's the eighth sign. So we see that the battle here concerns the number eight, and whether one will reject the lowest principle or whether one will reject the highest and instead exalt the lower principles. The number eight is involved on either side, and if we accept properly, we follow the eightfold, the Antikorana, which is shaped like an eight, we follow that into the higher worlds. If we reject improperly, and we reject the higher life, we are eventually precipitated into the eighth sphere. One way of saying this is we enter a cycle of endless disintegration and pain. Another way is that we make out of the concrete mind an eighth sphere on the cosmic physical plane, and eventually then are precipitated into the decadence of that state of decomposition, which is called the eighth sphere. So it's very important that we accept the Trinity, right? The triple flowers, this higher type of planetary mind, love, and will, which is expressed through the spiritual triad, which is nourished by these particular high lives. Let's see what else we have here. We have dealt with the first three hierarchies, which are regarded as ever seeing the face of the ruler of the deep. And the ruler of the deep, these are the depths of the cosmic planes. And the ruler can be considered either as the planetary logos or the solar logos. These hierarchies are being so pure and holy, of a nature out of harmony with the still unredeemed forces of the lower planes of our cosmic physical plane, that their forces are in realized contact, not just contact, we're all in contact, but in realized contact with their emanating source, which is the solar logos, ultimately. And of course, a special adaptation of the solar logos's will, which is carried forward by our planetary logos. The ruler of the deep, it sounds very Kabbalistic, some of the ancient ideas. Obviously, are we talking about water, deep water? Matter is water, and it descends to a very great depth. We're in this cosmic ocean, which has, as far as we are concerned, an unfathomable depth. So the first, second, and third hierarchies are connected very much with the first, second, and third aspects of the solar logos. The planets involved are Vulcan for the first, Jupiter for the second, and Saturn for the third, the sun bathing Vulcan. And some might also say that Uranus should be there. Okay. We will now take up for brief consideration two hierarchies which closely concern ourselves, the human self-conscious entity. Self-consciousness is, of course, a limitation in consciousness. Group consciousness is greater. And the big jump to God consciousness is still greater. Seeing various kinds of light here, I think there will be no way to avoid this mottled view. Okay, two hierarchies which concern ourselves. These two groups are literally three. This is so important. As the fifth hierarchy is a dual one, and it is this which has led to some confusion. It is the occult significance behind the ill omen number 13. Well, we're told that there can develop 13 hierarchies, one of which is the eighth, if the concrete mind is walled off and refuses to be held in the light of the soul and in the light of the triad. So the one of the ways of considering this hierarchy, the fifth manifested, is that the higher aspect of it is symbolized by the upward-pointing five-pointed star, or pentagram. And there is a reversal of the pentagram for the lower life. See, you know, hierarchy 5, creative hierarchy 5, is partially solar and partially lunar. At least when we are considering the lower mental plane, we are in the realm of the moon. The moon has 18 subplanes, and the moon card is the 18th, and this is all the lunar realm, the physical, etheric, astral, and lower mental, comprising 18 subplanes. It's all within the realm of the moon, and yet this fifth creative hierarchy seems to have a solar aspect to it, and a mental elemental aspect to it, which can be viewed as a downward pointing pentagram. Certainly, the solar angels could never be characterized as a downward pointing pentagram because they are far too wise and loving, and they have transcended the tendency to be lured by the matter of the previous solar system and by moon chain impulses. So we have to solve this problem of the dual creative hierarchy, number 5 or number 10, as the case may be. The two stars, 5 and 5, the pentagram and the pentagram, upward pointing or downward pointing, actually create the 10 together. But what is required is the reorientation of the lower pentagram so that the lunar elementals reorient themselves, and instead of seeking to continue their lunar association, orient themselves symbolically towards the sun. So we have three groups that are closely connected with the human self-conscious entities. One is hierarchy number 9, which is our own, and then are dealing with two aspects of hierarchy number 5 or 10, one of which leads us to heaven and the other to hell. Which ones are they? They are the seekers of satisfaction and the cause of the second fall. So I suppose he is talking about the fifth hierarchy, members of the fifth creative hierarchy. Are the seekers of satisfaction and the cause of the second fall into generation, the fact behind the taking of a lower nature by the ego. The seekers of satisfaction. This does seem to be connected very much with desire, and one wonders whether we're not talking about the lower aspect of the fifth creative hierarchy. Perhaps. And the first fall is simply a fall onto the cosmic physical plane altogether. The second fall into generation is the fall of an aspect of the solar angel or the higher ego into the 18 lower subplanes, and perhaps even into the causal levels, which are also in the solar logoic physical body. Sometimes we don't realize that the falls are not necessarily due to a lack of virtue, but are due to sacrificial intent. Certain angels fall in order to help. The great solar angelic host, sometimes called Prometheus, brought fire to man. That, in bringing fire to man, the divine fire of mind and secondarily of love and will, is a kind of a fall. And sometimes that great host is called Lucifer as well, the chief of the fallen angels, which sometimes signifies that the entire hierarchy fell into generation, which is another way of speaking about the lower 18 or 21 subplanes. That's the realm of generation. Lucifer fell in that way, when Lucifer is considered that way, in order to help humanity. We were very far behind on our Earth chain here due to the Moon chain disaster, the full nature of which, and probably in which many of us participated, will not be known for some time. But one day we will see how it was that the planetary logos failed through that third chain. And with us, some of us as extensions of his being, we experience that failure as a retardation in our development, which is now being stimulated in this fourth chain. The fourth and the fifth hierarchies manifested, so the hierarchy of initiates or of human monads, and the hierarchy of solar angels and their inferior lower counterpart. The fourth and fifth are really the ninth and tenth, we understand the method of counting, or the initiates and the perfect ones. Well, that's, you know, that's rather interesting, the perfect ones. Let's just say that only the higher among them could be called the perfect ones. Only the higher amongst them could be called the perfect ones. Well, they are initiates of all degrees. They have completed on that lower turn of the spiral, which we call the first solar system, that which man could do in that solar system, because they were men in that solar system. So they have been perfected, but they still have something to gain. They're not entirely avataric. An avatar, we are taught, is one who descends to assist with no possible gain for himself in the assistance offered. It's just an act of pure beneficence with no real gain. And but the perfect ones still are not perfect with respect to our solar system, and nor are they liberated at this time, perhaps by choice, onto the cosmic astral plane. They had to have been on the cosmic astral plane in order to go to Sirius and be trained as solar angels, but for the moment their attention is very much on the cosmic physical plane and helping to awaken the planetary heart. And I think that when all human beings have ascended to the monadic level, ascension is the word because that's the sixth initiation, up to the sixth or monadic level, that the planetary heart will be truly awakened and the perfect ones will have accomplished their task. Of course, even at the fourth degree, there is already the promise of that awakening, and they do apparently return after our fourth degree, having shared with us what they could, which allows us to operate somewhat on a lower level in relation to what they can do. In other words, we become minor solar angels, and we get our wings at the fourth degree, so to speak. all human beings or imperishable jivas. Yes, because the essence of the jiva is the monad, which is imperishable being. All human beings or imperishable jivas are those who evolve through a graded series of initiations, 9 exactly, at least in this span of initiations, either self-induced or brought about on our planet with extraneous aid. Well, really both are necessary. We need to have extraordinary effort on our part, extraordinary exertion. Extraordinary exertion on our part, and also, at this time, divine intervention. We need both if we are to undergo this rather unusual initiatory program. And even though not all men tread the path of initiation, the human kingdom itself will be lifted and lifted and lifted to statuses which are equivalent to those achieved by those who willfully tread willfully trod the path of initiation. So anyway, these imperishable jivas achieve through a marriage with the order next to them, the fifth. Now, interestingly, the order next to them, it's kind of a double marriage, because there is a marriage above, which we call soul infusion, and a marriage below. Well, let's see, how can we do this? The marriage above is with the higher type, with the solar angels. And the marriage below is the influx of higher life into the elemental life. Who's being married? Who is being married? That projection of the monad, which we call the disciple. So there's being brought into and elevated into the status of a solar angel. So we have one marriage is rising up to become as the solar angel, and the other is the bringing down of divine energy into the elemental life of the personality. So this is very interesting. We're betwixt and between. It seems like humanity, although technically in a way above the fifth creative hierarchy, is below one aspect of that hierarchy and above another or lesser aspect of that hierarchy. Well, these are speculations, hopefully reasoned speculations, and, you know, as we get together to discuss these matters, then greater clarification can emerge. I'm sure we will discover how little we really know about the whole situation. Now, we are moving right along. Hierarchy number 6, the fourth creative hierarchy. Nope, number 4, rather. The fourth creative hierarchy is the group wherein the highest aspect of man, his Father in heaven, the monad, finds its place, or let me say, its focus. Now, you know, hierarchies will change. I mean, there are those who one day will move into hierarchy 4, and the boatload of monads that's focused in the possibilities of hierarchy 4 now will move on and become another hierarchy. For instance, suppose that most human beings became solar angels, the bulk of human beings became solar angels. Well, if that were the case, then we would have moved on to become a hierarchy number 5, interestingly enough. And we would have our turn at sacrificial work. I guess I'm sort of divided in a fourth-ray manner. One part of me is shadow, one part is light. Well, don't take it too literally. Let's see if I can... No. Can I do that? No. A little bit like that, perhaps. These lives are points of fire. Again, how very interesting. Lives are points. The point is the most mysterious figure. So lives are points. The point is the most underestimated factor in occultism. It is absolutely dynamic all-powerful factor. The universal logos himself is simply a point, and his consciousness makes of him a sphere. And beyond that consciousness, there is no universe. So does the universe have a boundary? Well, it is the boundary of the consciousness of the universal logos. And what is not conceived, perceived, does not exist. I know this is a strange idea, I think, but if one begins to think deeply about it, we will understand that everything in the veil of illusion, which is the universe, is a perception of the one perceiver. And if it is not perceived, it doesn't exist. Because we'd have to say, well, doesn't he fail to perceive that which additionally exists? No, he's giving it existence by an act of perception. That which exists is given existence by a universal logoic act of self-perception. Well, that's probably my major thesis in the Infinitization book, which a few read and a few less survive. I don't know if I'd survive if I tried to read it again, which one day I may be destined to do. Okay, these lives in hierarchy number 4 are points of fire who must become the flame. We are sparks hanging from the great flame by the finest thread of Fohat. So we must become the flame. The spark seems to have an individual identity, and we have to merge with the flame, which is all-inclusive of the many sparks. This they do through the agency of the 5th hierarchy and the 4 wicks, or the 2 dual lower hierarchies. Now here we've just found something very important. Remember how we asked the question, are all the hierarchies that are manifested, are they triple? So we did ask, whoops, okay, keep it red. We did ask if all hierarchies are triple. But here we see that the 2 lowest are dual. And it appears that the 5th creative hierarchy is also dual. Then what about man? Or the fourth creative hierarchy, is that hierarchy triple or dual? What do we have so far? 3, 3, and 3, and 2, and 2. So 3, 3, and 3 are 9, and 2, and 2 are 4. 9 and 4 is 13. 9 and 4 are 13. 13 expressions, and only the No, add 2 more for the solar angels. 15. Now, what of man? Is it a unitary hierarchy? Is it a dual hierarchy? Does it have 3 expressions? Well, certainly, you know, we are very familiar with the idea of the trinity that is within man, the triple monad and the triple soul and the triple triad and so forth. We are familiar with that. Gosh, what a ray for image. Just, whoa, okay, well, just look at the bright side, okay? All right. So thus it can be seen that where man is concerned, the 4th, that's his, the 5th, the 6th, and 7th hierarchies are, during the cycle of incarnation at least, his very self. They provide his instrument. They are the lords of sacrifice and lords of love, the flower of Atma Buddha. That's what we are. Atma Buddha is sometimes considered the monad, and we are the flower of Atma Buddhi. We are lords of sacrifice, lords of ceaseless persevering devotion. We are called lords of love. We come from the 2nd or love plane of the cosmic physical plane. We're ruled by the 2nd ray in a way. We're ruled by Jupiter, in a way, Virgo, and its 2nd ray, in a way. We're fighting it out as a Scorpio hierarchy, yes, but our true monadic nature is found on the plane of love, which is the 2nd, the Akashic plane of the cosmic physical plane. All right, a little more. Oh, but you know, one just wants to pore over this because it's so fantastic. We do have a Father in Heaven. We are our Father in Heaven. I and the Father are one, as the Christ pointed out. We are points of fire, as are all lives. We must become the divine flame. And, that's interesting. This means, perhaps, that we must transcend the monad as it now expresses and enter the sea of fire. That would be the fire of the flame. We would enter the sea of fire and merge with the one flame. Well, there is evolution beyond the cosmic physical plane, and what that may be, well, we're only promised that it does occur. And the Tibetan himself says of the cosmic astral plane, what is to be found there, I know not, I have not been there. But the Christ, of course, has begun to tune in on that. The Christ and the Buddha as seventh-degree initiates, even though not yet refusing contact with the cosmic physical plane, they do know what is on the cosmic astral plane to a limited degree, I suppose. And when they have finished their great dual salvational effort during the Aquarian Age, they will journey to those higher realms, I suspect. Will that mean that they are beyond initiates of the seventh degree? Will they be entering the eighth degree, which is a degree of transition, probably transition from the cosmic physical plane to the cosmic astral? Well, these things remain to be seen. Perhaps DK, and only DK, who could write about these things, will tell us something about it in the new installment of the teaching. I oftentimes say, you know, there are people, sincere, well-intended people, who say, well, look, I'm giving out the new installment of the teaching. I am the initiate, or one of the initiates, who is coming forth in the beginning part of this century, giving out the new teaching. And I say, okay, well, look, you know, okay, everyone's entitled to their own point of view, but I'm saying what you're writing, I could write. And if I can write it, then DK's not writing it. And if you could write it, which you could too, DK's not writing it. Alice Bailey wrote what she could write, but she didn't write what only DK could write. So I hold out for the year 2025 as being the beginning of the next installment of the teaching. And I'm sure that its content will be such that only DK could write it, or some, you know, other master. In this particular case, it's DK, because he's perhaps the most learned master when it comes to the solar and hierarchical energy, solar energies, and the knowledge of the creative hierarchies. Anyway, that's my particular soapbox. You know, I don't want to pretend. I'm simply an interpreter. In a way, nothing with me is original here. These are my own interpretations of the Master's Word. I've written my own books, but then I could write them. And I don't say they're from anyone but myself. Whatever that self is. Okay. Now, let's just do a little more. In studying these hierarchies, one of the most valuable lessons to be learned is the place and importance of man in the scheme. Well, that's it. You know, it's a great privilege to know where you stand, to know what you are, because if you know what you are, you'll know what to do. So that's the key, man's place and importance in the scheme. And it's a much different place or importance in the scheme than we might have imagined. When we don't know a lot of these occult structures and relationships, well, you know, we imagine we are something, and we're usually at the center of the world in some, how do you say, geocentric, man-centric position. But when we begin to understand all the many lives that are involved in this manifestation called man, we develop a great sense of cooperation, participation, and humility. The hierarchy, for instance, which is the essence of the intangible life of spirit, the principle of buddhi, see, so often in our solar system, spirit is called buddhi, is the esoteric cause of the cosmic marriage of spirit and matter. See, Buddhi is the Buddhi represents the middle type of electricity. Buddhi, well, let's get it, is the middle or equilibrating type of electricity which unifies spirit. Spirit and matter. And middle with three D's, okay. So, you know, the soul is essentially, the egoic lotus is essentially a second aspect instrument, and it is the expression of Buddhi. Buddhi is the harmonizing principle, harmonizing spirit and matter, harmonizing. Okay. Based on the love and desire of the logos. But each hierarchy also expresses itself. Buddhi is the esoteric cause of the cosmic. Well, that's us, isn't it? I mean, that particular hierarchy, which is the... I see what it means here. You know, I made a mistake here. It's not our creator, it's not our spiritual hierarchy. It's that particular hierarchy, for instance, which is the essence of the intangible life of spirit. The Prince of Buddhi is the esoteric cause of the marriage of spirit and matter. Well, man comes close to fulfilling that function. The fourth creative hierarchy comes close to being the Buddhic link between spirit and matter, and that is man's destiny. Based on the love and desire of the Logos, but each hierarchy of the others also expresses itself through one particular manifestation which comes to be regarded by the finite mind of man as the hierarchy itself. This is not so, and care must be taken to distinguish between these hierarchies. So, you know, we have a particular manifestation, we look like man. But there are other manifestations for which the fourth creative hierarchy expresses. There are many discarnate expressions of the fourth creative hierarchy. The fourth creative hierarchy expresses itself as man, as members of the fifth kingdom of nature, the kingdom of souls. It expresses itself as Chohans, as members of the sixth kingdom of planetary lives. And there's good reason to believe that since there was the in-mineralization, in-vegetalization, in-zoonation of the monad, that the fourth creative hierarchy is expressing itself as well through the three lower kingdoms, not just through the human kingdom, but that they all, the mineral, the plant, the animal, are all parts of man, for whom man is the microcosm. So these hierarchies, this fourth creative hierarchy, has an immense range of expression, but usually you think of it as major expression as being the form of man and the existence of man. We don't think of it so much as the masters, per se, or the planetary spirits, the planetary lives, per se, or as the lower kingdoms. We don't think of it that way. So DK is telling us to be very careful, because a hierarchy can have numerous forms of expression, one of which is considered most characteristic, but there can be several. Well, okay, that's it. Wow, we're in deep water here. amazing how deep it goes in cosmic fire. And we finished EAA 20, and we have reached some page or other. I suppose, page 42. So we've done page 41 and 42. And we will continue with the discussion of the fourth creative hierarchy, the human hierarchy, which, of course, is the major study that we undertake in all of the Tibetan's books and all of the Ageless Wisdom. But things would not be complete unless we can see the other hierarchies to which we are related. All right. It's time then to close with the Great Invocation. Oh. from the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, a purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let thine of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Okay, friends, that's number 20, and we will continue with number 21, making our way through a few more hierarchies. We spent a long time on this subject, but hopefully it will bring to our attention some of the amazing possibilities of the lives with which we cooperate, the lives we represent, and the lives who represent us in our composite form as the human being. We'll see you then.